Shane Victorino hopes to hit a home run with a new venture build around hemp. The Flying Hawaiian is investing in the future of the crop that will go from seed to sale with an eye to future export markets. Arcadia Biosciences is one of 30 companies who secured permits under a pilot program with the Agriculture Department. There are still hurdles to scale with the State Health Department and the federal government. We talked with Victorino and Matt Plavin, who's with the Arcadia Biosciences, about what's ahead.
Arcadia Biosciences is a company that has been transforming plants and improving the quality and the output of crops for many years. And with the legalization of hemp as a result of the 2018 Farm Bill, we were evaluating how best to enter the markets and which markets to enter. And it became clear to us that Hawaii is a really unique opportunity for hemp for a number of reasons. From a climate standpoint, it's a great place to target such a productive crop, number one. And number two, it really represents a tremendous opportunity for the Hawaiian community with regard to having a viable, innovative, new agricultural opportunity. So it really brings an opportunity for agricultural prosperity. And when we evaluated, you know, how do we come into a community that we're not part of, we were evaluating that. And once we learned that Shane Victorino was available as not only a partner to invest with us, but someone who shared this vision of bringing agricultural prosperity to Hawaii, we saw that there was a great partnership opportunity. So after just a little bit of conversation about how we would come together, it seemed like the perfect marriage, bringing high science and scientific integrity in crop innovation together with someone who is well-regarded and revered in the Hawaiian and trusted in the Hawaiian community, who also happens to have a partnership and a relationship with an extraction company in Arizona. It's an expert at quality extraction of hemp and hemp derivative products. We just decided that this was a marriage made in heaven, and it was something that we were very excited about from the get-go, and it took a little while to kind of put all the pieces together. But as you mentioned, just a few days ago, we announced this partnership, and so we now have what we call a one vertically integrated supply chain for Hawaiian hemp production and formulation.
Now, I was out there in Waimanalo when they showed off the hemp plants, and they were crazy big.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's the thing about hemp is right now, and this is why we're so well positioned for this opportunity. You know, hemp and cannabis has been illegal in the States for 70 years. So when you look at crops like corn, wheat, soybean, I mean, when you drive past a cornfield, what do you see? You see perfectly level field of corn. Every stalk looks the same. It's because there's little genetic diversity in that crop because it's been optimized over the years to perform and maximize yields. Because cannabis has been illegal, there's really not been that kind of breeding and modern agricultural tools that have been applied to improving the genome for cannabis. So you're right. You drive past a hemp field, you'll see a hemp plant that's 10 feet tall. You'll see one that's 2 feet tall and 3 feet wide. So although there's a tremendous demand for the hemp and the hemp derivative products, the reality is that the state of the genetics in hemp today is suboptimized pretty substantially. So we're coming into the market using our genetic experience to try and, you know, quickly as we can, improve the varieties and the strains so that farmers, you know, as this industry grows and competition becomes a much more significant factor, that the farmers, and in this particular case, the farmers in Hawaii, are equipped with the best genetics to continue profiting and building their businesses over time as this market matures.
And Shane, talk about your interest in this, because I know at the time when Representative Cynthia Thielen was really pushing for this, and it's been decades, you know, she talked about everything from construction materials to, you know, fabric. But what's your interest in this?
I think it's an opportunity for me, obviously, retiring from baseball. You know, an opportunity from an individual that I have known since I first started my launch of my career, and he basically said to me, you know, this is a space that you should look into. You know, you're done with baseball. I think it's a space that can help the agricultural cultivation and restoring some of the, you know, the soils that have been absolutely, you know, tarnished over the years from pineapple fields and sugarcane and the, you know, all the things that have gone into the, you know, the soil and, you know, learning about hemp. And it literally started a year ago. And it started just like that, literally one text. And it sparked my interest from that day on. And I've looked into facilities, you know, obviously living in Vegas full time and seeing where cannabis has gone. And, you know, now the CBD space opening up. And, you know, so I really took on the challenge to learn, do my due diligence, research. And obviously, like Matt said, it's, you know, it's been in the making of an opportunity to look at how we can best come into the state of Hawaii and basically give local families, local farmers, and basically an agricultural, you know, opportunity to the state of Hawaii. And basically, you know, even having conversation with the governor and saying, you know, is this something that someday will you know, become a reality? And again, hey, we all understand from a federal standpoint, there's things that still need to be adjusted. And I think we all understand that. And, you know, obviously, you know, this venture has kind of jumped ahead of the curve in regard to what is really happening and the bylaws that are going on back home. And but again, it's for me understanding one thing: if the local families have a chance to obviously benefit, create, you know, an opportunity to generate revenue off the land that we have, because land is precious. And I get that's been my biggest concern, is every piece of land that we have on the island is slowly being used up and is being given away or is taken away from us. And it's at that point where, can this be an opportunity where local families take their land that they're selling to, you know, make a living and to move on and come to places like Las Vegas where I live and make home? You know, if this gives them an opportunity, and that's what's really exciting me about this, other than the fact that I get to come home and hopefully help local families. And that's my biggest obstacle in all this is understand one thing. That's all I'm coming in for and why my venture has been started and why I want to do what I do.
Now, the whole CBD thing, I know it's taken off, but we're waiting for some federal rules to clarify the situation.
There's no doubt the demand for CBD is enormous and it's growing at a staggering rate. But to your point, you know, the FDA's responsibility is to protect consumers. And I think what is one of their greatest concerns is how, you know, the claims that companies are making, you know, health claims, the medical claims that really are unfounded and inappropriate. And so, you know, the FDA is evaluating how to regulate this. And we as a public company and our joint venture, you know, we are steadfast committed to maintaining compliance with local and federal laws. So it's really important, and we're staying abreast of those. It's really important to, you know, for us to develop our plans and our commercialization strategies, but we're going to deploy those according to the rules and regulations as they're issued. But there's no doubt the consumers have a strong demand for CBD, and that we have to tread carefully and make sure that we understand labeling laws and formulation laws as we enter the market. We began our first plantings April 1st. We've had our initial harvest in July, and we're continuing to kind of expand into our full 10 acres because each of the pilot programs is 10 acres. And we've been evaluating a number of the department's strains of hemp, evaluating the genetics. We've been doing breeding in preparation for targeting, you know, ways to improve the strains that exist today and, you know, which strains perform the best in the Hawaiian climate. So this pilot program has been a great way for us to get boots on the ground and understand the agronomics of the available strains and provide that information back to the Department of Agriculture in partnership with them to, again, prepare for the scale-up of this industry, which we think Hawaii is really well-positioned to lead in. The first thing that needs to happen is the USDA needs to issue their guidelines to the states for the implementation of the 2018 Farm Bill. The states then submit their plans to the USDA as to how they're going to comply with those regulations. And then the USDA has 60 days to turn around and approve those plans. Nobody expects that these will be difficult procedures. It's pretty well understood from the bill itself what the program will look like. But that is still the process that needs to unfold. And everybody's speculating as to how quickly that will occur. Some people think it'll happen by the end of 19. Some think it'll be the first quarter maybe of 2020. But once that happens, then it'll be very clear for farmers, you know, how they will comply with the regulations and the ability to expand beyond the current pilot phase, for example, in Hawaii, will open up. So that's really what needs to happen before we can scale beyond the pilot program that we're all operating under at the moment. We see an enormous opportunity in the Asian markets, and we feel really well positioned in Hawaii to serve those markets. So between the Hawaiian market and what we think the export markets are, we're pretty excited about the ability to create employment and diversify the economy in a pretty meaningful way between the Hawaiian market and the export market. Exactly how it ends up funneling through the retail channels is, I think, yet to be determined. We're going to be able to control quality from the time we put a seed in the ground to the time the product is formulated and sold as a wholesale to a retailer. And so that's a lot of work for us from now until these rules come out. So we're going to be busy developing those capabilities and, you know, based upon those estimates that I referred to earlier, you know, late 19, early 2020, that's about the time we'll be ready with our full supply chain. So we're feeling pretty good about our prospects to kind of enter the market or be ready to enter the market just as those rules are coming out. Well, I think there's somewhere between 8 and 12 different varieties or strains that the Department of Agriculture has made available to the licensees. And they're all quite different, and we're all looking for different things. We, Archipelago Ventures, happen to be looking specifically for CBD content and other features that we believe are optimal characteristics. And I think there are some strains there that we can work with. There are others that are more challenging. As you probably know, when the cannabis plant is in its growth cycle, it can be kind of finicky with regard to the level of certain cannabinoids over the growth cycle. For example, if there's excessive heat, you may end up with more THC than is allowable. And as you probably also know, and maybe if some listeners don't know, the distinction between marijuana and hemp is 0.3% THC and below. So within this pilot program, there's a pretty rigid quality control and restrictions and reporting requirements to make sure that if any licensee's plants are testing above 0.3%, those have to be destroyed because they're illegal at that point. So from the standpoint of looking at the strains and identifying those that you want to pursue for the production of hemp and CBD, you're really looking for those strains that you're confident or you can be confident will grow and yield well without exceeding that 0.3% THC. So I think that's what we're all looking at from the standpoint of licensees evaluating the available varieties for production and scale up.
For me, it's an option and an opportunity to understand what really happens. I was never a farmer. I was never, but I obviously with research and continuing our progression and moving forward and looking, with forward thinking, how do I learn from farmers who have dealt with that kind of crops being stolen? What are some of the things that have happened? But I mean, by the bylaws, I think you have to, be very, as Matt said, listening to what he was saying is you have to very, obviously have security around the place. You have to double fence it. Not for just purposes of just these as, hey, on Molokai, you got deer that can jump over and run through a patch and destroy something. So there's so many other things than just the, you know, the person that can destroy a crop or that, I mean, weather aspect. So I think this is an ever, you know, for us, I think it's an ever revolving door. You know, obviously there's research that has been done since, you know, I mean, you know, back in the days of UH and all the research that they have done, you know, with, like you said, the, you know, people who have been a part of this a lot longer than I have, and understanding conversations with them that, you know, hey, we're all going to learn along the way, and we're going to, you know, understand one another. And I think the ultimate thing for me in all of this is we got to work together. And I think the state benefits as a whole. And hopefully this is a change for our agricultural, you know, identification. And, you know, this can be, as I said, the sugar cane what it once was and what the pineapple fields once were. If this is what, you know, it you know, hopefully we scientific research and all the things that continue to grow, you know, makes this, you know, and continues to make this a reality.
And did you get any advice from your dad?
Other than work hard, son, you've always done that. You know, my dad identifies himself, and, you know, it's one thing I love to share about that is that, you know, from a father to son thing, we've always kept ourselves in different pots. You know, my dad has never told me what to do, and I've never told my dad what to do. But we've always agreed that when we say yes to something and we commit to it, we give 100%. If we fail, we fail. But one thing, you know, that we're going to give 100%. So that's the only advice that dad had to me starting this venture. He goes, son, I know you know what you're doing. You've done a lot of work. I know you've been, you know, doing as much as you can and have taken in a lot of as many conversations as you have. My only advice to you is work hard and do the right thing by the people. And if it's the right thing to do, then I think we're all, you know, we're all in it together. So, you know, that's how I've attacked this venture. And I think that's the only way for me to look at this venture. And as one thing is that I'm getting an opportunity. Hey, I did one thing as an athlete, but I'd love to come home and help as a, you know, a now retired athlete and someone who loves the Islands more than anything. To come back home and help these families and, you know, deal with what we deal with every day at home, you know, finding ways to make our economy go.
That was Shane Victorino and Matt Plavin, who are behind a test hemp plot on Molokai. Arcadia secured a permit this spring and just last week announced it signed on Victorino. Shane's father, Mike, happens to be mayor of Maui.